Hello and welcome to the Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here in the car with Dan Connell.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
We're driving to a very far away place, so what else are we going to do, honestly? We've already had a big conversation. We should have recorded that, but we're just slagging people off for 3 hours. No, we were talking about the comedy industry. We're going to Manu, is that right, Manu?
Manu, yeah.
Now, do you know where that is?
I hadn't heard of it, to be honest, before we booked this gig, but I do kind of, it's out Sanana way.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the Wimmera out there?
Yeah, and we're doing two gigs. Friday and Saturday night, and they're flood relief related.
Yes.
I think they've got money from the government to give it a joy, because the guy said they're all farmers. So when I spoke to someone up there, oh, look, speaking of farmers, Maryborough. No, thank you. You ever done Maryborough?
No.
I only ever did it once with Carl Chandler from the Dum Dum Club, because he's from Maryborough. We did a good podcast here at the Highland Club. It's one of those areas that gets no one. I reckon you would do well, because I don't think anyone tours the Maryborough. They all go to Ballarat.
There's not, no, you wouldn't go through it to go anywhere, would you?
No, not really.
It's bypassed.
You just bypass Maryborough. But anyway, we're on the way to Manu, and it's free to get in.
50-ish people they're expecting?
Yes. And the one tomorrow night could be up to 100, the guy said.
Which is at Natty Yalik.
Natty Yalik, that's it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? Some of these gigs, I've done them before, and you have too. They can either be fantastic or a little bit bleak sometimes.
Yeah. It really depends on... The free entry worries me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I'm guessing the sausage sizzle would be free, so that...
Yes. Well, that would get me in.
Yeah, that should get a few in.
But that's at 6. I'll probably leave before we get there.
Oh, yeah. And you said you've done them before where...
Oh, the people just don't sort of care.
Or they leave at half time.
They leave half time. And I've done one where they've been fantastic. We did Eden Hope, which is around here somewhere, me and Des, and it was bloody great. It was so good. We were running late, and the woman goes, "Don't worry, we've got the guy talking about the black dog. I'll tell him to go longer." What? We got there, the black dog guy still on stage. I'm like, oh, get him off. Get the black dog guy off. So the black... But that was a great gig.
Well, the only way was up, wasn't it?
The only way is up, baby. But we did one for a mining town that was closing down in Queensland, up near Mackay. It was a 2-hour or 3-hour drive from Mackay. And the woman's like, oh, it's free to get in. It's, you know, to celebrate the mine or whatever. But they're all free to get in. It's just not. They got about 40 people. They're expecting 200. You know, they had all the catering there. And gee, I had a lot of pizza that night. There was so much pizza to go around. Like,
yeah, if you haven't outlaid any sort of money, you got no investment in the night, you've worked Friday, because they're farmers, obviously, so they've worked hard all today.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm just going to have a bath and watch a movie.
Yeah, it used to be Friday night, the Muppet Show, but I don't know what's on Friday nights these days.
Yeah.
They'll watch anything. They can watch anything these days. So, but anyway, we'll take what it is. You're from the country, so you can handle the country talk.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm going first.
Yeah.
So if they leave,
you don't have to. I can go first.
If they leave at half time, that works well for me.
Well, as we know, going on first has its advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah.
Firstly, it's a virgin crowd. You can talk about anything because no one's been on. But then sometimes you're like the warm-up man.
Yeah.
Because then by the second half, they've warmed up a bit. Sometimes the first half can be hard, but sometimes the first half can be better than the second half. Like, anyway, I'll have to go on. And, you know, I'll do that thing where people go, you know, Dan was talking about, I mentioned, and then go into the same material kind of about. And Dan was saying...
And I think a big part of my set will be a local character. I'm really hoping for a local character
Are you?
Early in the piece.
To arc up.
No, just to chat to him to give us some sort of...
Do you do that crowd work?
I will. Something like this I will, for sure.
Yeah, they love talking, generally.
Yeah, just to get a bit of a gauge. Hopefully there's some fellow with, like, missing fingers or something that we can...
Isn't it funny, though, sometimes you do that and they give you nothing. You're like, all right, anyway. All right. Most times country people do want to talk, but sometimes, no. Oh, don't talk to me. I've had people say that. Don't talk to me. Okay. Anyway, Dan, what's been going on? You just finished your tour.
Just finished, mate. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, finished in Warrnambool. The end of the end.
Way
of the
to
line.
Go out. Way
yeah,
to go out.
Got the train down and back.
Oh, wow.
$15 return.
Same day?
No, next morning.
Yeah.
But did you know about this? The cheap...
Hughesy told me. He's been getting the train down
mate,
there.
It's magic.
I don't want to say he lost his license, but maybe he did. He's like, yeah, I'm on the train to Warrnambool, mate. Done it. Yeah, he's done it several... Well, he didn't see him on there. I think he's working as a conductor these days. He loves it. He loves the V-line to Warrnambool.
Yeah, they've brought the prices right down. So
yeah,
I'm
fantastic.
I'm getting everywhere I go in Victoria now. I went to Traralgon for $14.80 or something, and Albury.
Oh, you do a lot of train work.
Yeah.
Do we turn left here, do we?
Oh,
my God, we do.
Oh,
my God.
Sorry, mate.
Oh.
That came up quick, didn't it?
We're wrong.
You have to do a...
I have to do a U-E
just here, mate. Because it's great. You can just sit back and do a bit of work and...
Yeah, Richard Stubbs is a big train man,
get a
too.
Cup of tea.
He got the train to Wagga, he was telling me.
Yeah.
But you know, Dane Simpson runs that gig up there.
Yep.
How long does it take to Warrnambool? 4 hours?
Oh, 3.5, yeah.
It's not bad.
Not too bad. And so finished the tour up there.
Is there catering? Sorry, is there catering on the train?
Or? There is. There's all, yeah, the long ones, they definitely have a tea cart come around, or they'll have a little shop. You can go and get a cup of tea and a bit of banana bread.
Nice. Because when you go to Europe, they've got great catering on some of those trains. Like, it's obviously a golf course right there. We're looking at Morong.
Yeah. Morong golf course, yeah. Morong beautiful golf part of the world.
Is it? No, of course. It looks good. How many shows did you do in your tour? Not counting festivals. You do a lot of regional touring?
Yeah, it was 18 dates of after festival. So from sort of June to October. And it looked like a lot of dates on paper, but it was kind
of... It did!
It was just...
I was impressed. I saw it on the Facebook.
Yeah, it was just basically Friday, Saturday nights. Home Monday to Thursday, and then zipping away somewhere for a night or two on the weekend. Yeah, so I did. I pretty much went to every part of Australia, every major city, and then the regional stuff was predominantly Victoria.
Yeah, right.
Because of the trains.
The trains. No train. Well, it's like trying to do gigs with Glenn Robbins, and he rarely does live gigs, but he'll go to Byron Bay. Because
yes.
There's a beach. And then I go, well, you know, Tom Gleason's brother runs a gig in Orange, which I did it the other night. It was fantastic with Limo.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
No.
Oh, you got to.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
No?
And Glenn's like, Orange? There's no beach in Orange. I go, all right, so that's a no. So, yeah, he's like that, but with beaches. Yeah, right. And do you find you go back to some of the same places and it's building, some of these places?
Yeah, that's kind of the plan.
I mean, you don't want to go back and it's dropping off.
No.
You know, that'd be depressing.
Yes. Everywhere I went again this year had grown.
That's good.
A bit, which is good.
I mean, you don't want to... I mean, obviously it can't grow too much because of whatever, but unless something remarkable happens in your career where you...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, something happens, you get some big TV thing or something, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're on MasterChef and everyone knows you or something. And oh, yeah, that guy. But it would just be a gradual build, I assume.
Yeah, if I can kind of go up by 30 or 40 every year.
Yeah, that's great.
It's worth going back, yeah.
Absolutely. And you did all the festivals?
Did all the festivals. So, yeah, Perth and Adelaide and Canberra and Melbourne. So I did the show about 58 times or something this year.
So you're going to do the same thing next year?
I don't think I'll... I think I'll pick the best, maybe 10 to 12... of the tour places and go back to them.
Right, yeah.
But also, I'm not sure whether they...
Want you back soon?
Do you need a break? Yeah. Like,
yeah. I know Kitty, I mean, obviously she's in a different world to me or you, but she also started touring a lot when she was sort of, unknown, but not that well known.
You're saying Kitty's not going somewhere, country Victoria?
Well, not...
To play to 50 people for free tonight?
Yeah, yeah, no. But she also, I think goes every 2 years, she told me, or every 3 years to some of these places.
Yeah.
Not every year. Whereas obviously with festivals in Perth and LA, you can go every year, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So then when do you start writing new material for your new show?
So I start June the 1st. I've always made June the 1st the... So yeah, while I was touring, I was kind of Monday to Thursday when I was home in Melbourne, I was working on...
Oh, you're doing newer stuff.
New stuff,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
And would you do any of that in your...
No.
No, you didn't want to do any of that in your current show?
No.
Because you know how Jamone works? He starts off at one point in Australia, and then by the time he gets back to Melbourne, he's got a new hour.
Oh,
so
okay.
He integrates it.
Yeah, right.
He basically integrates it as he goes around.
Yeah. And mine's a clean cut, like just...
You're more, this is a totally different show.
Yeah, so if those people come, I don't want them to see the same thing the next
time. Right.
Any of the same.
I've got not as much care as you, obviously. I go, well, I got a new tent up the front, new tent at the end, well, yeah, with some stuff in the middle.
Yeah. I probably get 20 to 25... out of it that I can use in all the clubs and...
Yeah, club stuff.
Punchy, real punchy stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's... I don't know if people realise, but sometimes stuff you do in the festivals, you can't really do it in pubs and clubs, footy clubs or corporate gigs because it's not as... It's more storytelling or linked to stuff. And there's often a rude awakening when you go to a club and do your stuff that you've been doing on the festival and it's like, people are kind of staring at you or it's just not as punchy sometimes.
Yeah.
But you do tend to get at least two or three good routines out of a festival show.
Absolutely.
Which freshens up your act for the clubs and pubs. Yep. And,
yeah, there's always... I did my... Last Friday, I did my kind of best... My clubby 25, and there was probably... I think I put two or three bits from this year's show in there.
Yeah, yeah. So that was you doing the Big Blokes Lunch.
Yeah.
In...
Warragul.
Yeah, me and Oaksy did one the other day. Yeah, yeah, they're good fun, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much... I've sort of done that same routine of starting in June... trying to get 30 to 40 by Christmas time.
It's a good idea.
That's kind of been the same thing I've done for quite a few years in a row. So it just feels quite normal.
Yeah, the material will come. To quote the great man Hughes, he's already been quoted already in this podcast. Mate, you write the old stuff, you can write the new stuff. Don't fool yourself. You know, you can do it. He's like a mentor on this podcast. He's like an overriding god. And are you a big clips online person? You seem to have a lot of clips online.
Yeah, I've...
Which is the latest thing.
I've definitely upped that in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I was a bit reluctant. I was always a bit reluctant because I didn't want...
You don't want to burn the material?
Burn the material. But then
I
thought...
It matters.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Nah, it really doesn't.
People don't remember.
And people... I don't know.
Oh, the media's so scattered these days. You might, if you do like a festival show to 100 people, there'll be two people that have seen your clip. Or maybe say 10 people, although those 10, two would remember it or something, you know.
Yeah.
And even then, they probably liked it.
Yeah. I've had it in the past where I've done a gala on the telly and then people have come to the show and I've had the two bits in the show and they definitely, there's a little lull, a bit, they're not going as well as the other stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
I've noticed that before, but
yeah, right.
Generally, I've not noticed it with just... social media clips, but
I purposely filmed
two full shows last year in 2022, two 1-hour shows. I filmed them both in the one night with the idea just to purely cut them up. And
wow, where'd you do that?
Use them. I did them in the Macedon Ranges in a little...
Oh, I saw that!
Hall in Newham in the Macedon
Yeah, was
Ranges.
That good?
It was awesome, yeah. It was
yeah,
really
it looked
fun.
Good.
Yeah, so I got some mates from Canberra who have a production company and... They met me there and had
great.
The same crowd.
Tim Duck.
Tim Duck came down, Tim of Duck, course. Yeah. He did all the sound for that. Just filmed the two in one night, same crowd. Gave them dinner in between each show and then just got them to sit in different spots and change my shirt and had a shave to make it look like I'd
fooled me. But I did. I remember thinking, that looks like the same venue. But you look different. You know, like, that's really funny.
Yeah.
And with those specials, have you put them both on YouTube?
Both are on YouTube in full. And then, then I've cut the... I've probably got about 11 clips out of each one.
Oh, you get more than that.
Yeah.
If you really... But... And how many views have you had, like, on...
The first one that I released, the Gutless Wonder one, which was last year's show, was... it's about 55,000 or something.
Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Pretty good.
And then the second one, not as much, about 17.
Yeah, yeah.
But I probably didn't put as much effort into the promo.
No.
And it's kind of like a mixture of two shows that I'd previously done, old material. But again, as I say, it was just to cut it up. But then in saying that, like you cut it up and it's all, I put them all out now, so.
Yeah.
It definitely boosts your followers and people get to know you a bit more. But
it's great. Great idea.
Yeah, I don't think...
Also reminds people you're a stand-up, I reckon. You know, you're a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. So this tour I'm doing now, I just finished. I filmed this year's show twice as well. One in Brisbane at the Sit Down and one in Newcastle at the Newcastle Comedy Club. So those two to start clipping up again soon to try and promo next year's show.
I mean, it's hard to get on TV, but everyone's carrying a TV around in their pocket.
Yeah.
You just got to get on that TV.
Yeah.
It's not back in the day when I started and there was fucking four channels and you had to get on Hey Hey or, you know, get on TV. And then you went on it, you did well, but no one ever saw it again. That was
it. Yeah. I actually find it quite bizarre how few stand-up opportunities there are on TV now.
Yeah. Literally. When I started, there were heaps.
Yeah, and it goes well. Like, it does.
Yeah, it's cheap, too. It's cheap.
Simple.
Well, when I started, there was Tonight Live, Hey Hey, Midday. There were amateur shows like Star Search and Red Faces. Not Red Faces. Burt Newton's Red Faces. Yeah, Burt Newton's New Faces, not Red Faces. I mean, you could also go on Red Faces if you wanted, but you try to go on Hey Hey as a professional. You don't want to go on as an amateur. But plenty of people did go on Red Faces and do well. Like, you know, Palmer Johnson sang his chicken song on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a bit of a following off that. And then there was also like ABC shows like Something Hot Before Bed and these shows that would just pop up occasionally that would have stand-ups on. And then the gala.
Yeah.
So that was like... and also In Melbourne Tonight was on for about 5 years. And like people like Will Anderson did. I got asked to do that, but they said on Hey Hey, we'd rather you stay on Hey Hey. They tried to own me.
Really? Daryl?
Daryl. I don't know if Daryl actually rang me, but...
Did Aussie stand over you?
Aussie. I've been doing a bit. I did it last night at the great Hurstbridge Girl Guide Hall that Andrew Kelso runs. You've done that gig for anyone in the...
The Anglers Club.
The Anglers Club, which is like an old guide hall. It's a great gig in the middle of nowhere in the outer suburbs of Melbourne in a bush block. And... I've started talking about how when I started, it was just white guys on TV. And I said, the bit of diversity was Aussie ostrich. We got an ostrich. That's diverse. And so anyway, and Daryl was actually really supportive of, he loved comedians. He loved them.
It's like you.
Yeah, I left.
Yeah.
So yeah. So out of all those shows, I mean, I auditioned to go on all of them and I didn't get on Tonight Live, but I got on bloody Midday. I did Midday twice. I did, Hey Hey, I did some of those ABC stand-up shows. Then I did the galas, the Comedy Festival galas. So there were... And Rove was the other one. Rove started in the 90s. Yeah. And he was great because, of course, he came up from the circuit. And he started maybe 4 years after me. And so he was very supportive of everyone that he met on the circuit and liked, which is most people. So he had, you know, some of those real... Like Oaksy went on it, myself, Dave Grant. Some of the guys that... couldn't get on some of the other shows. He had like everyone. He was great like that. He was very supportive.
Right. Yeah, now there's
the gala.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the impact that it used to have because it's spread over two nights and it's on the ABC. It used to be a big thing on, but then again, I mean, viewing habits have changed. So when it was on Channel 9 or 10 and you got on early, it could really affect your sales. Like Hughesy had tipped him over the edge 1 year. Tommy Little. But I did it, but I always would get put on later, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, if you went on second last, it wasn't really. And also, these days, I think they cut up the clips and you get more people watching it online.
I think so,
which
sure.
is still worth doing, absolutely worth doing. Because I did one maybe 4 years ago. Maybe you were doing it the year I did it. I might have done it like, oh, look at this great, oh, the Newbridge, look at that great pub. What a great old hotel, the Newbridge Hotel. We should do a gig there. Should have booked that in on the way up, like an early one. But I know it's kind of... Because there's so much good talent out there, too, in the comedy world. But, there's Just for Laughs. Have you done that?
No.
Oh, surely they'll get you on that.
I'm just surprised there's not like a half an hour stand-up show, like just purely stand-up, just from a club somewhere live.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cheap. It's cheap.
Did you try and get something like that going with the Funhouse?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, briefly, but yeah, that didn't.
I think I was on one of the pilots.
Yes. So was your wife.
Yes.
Laura. She was in a double act. And, yeah.
That was the night we met, would you believe?
Oh, my God.
At that pilot thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the guy putting it together, Clive, you know, he approached SBS and they went, oh, great, but can you get Arndo to host it? Because, you know, it's SBS. I said, don't approach SBS. But yeah, which is fair enough. They've got a charter they've got to follow.
Yeah.
It's got to be multicultural. You've got me and you, the whitest people you've ever seen. And anyway, but oh, look, mate, look, like in England, they have those shows like Michael McIntyre.
Yeah, that's huge.
And the Empire, Live the Empire, and they're massive, those shows.
Mm. And then we get the reruns, and that everybody loves it.
Yeah. I'm sure they've tried to get them up. People always talk about trying to get them up, but look, when I become really famous, I'm going to get it up, and you're going to be on the first night.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And I'll get a young female comic, and you can meet your second wife.
We'll do it live from Manu.
Yes.
Manu.
Live from Manu. Dave, Dan, his next wife. I hope your wife doesn't listen to this, because she's a lovely person, who my mother-in-law met and loved her.
Like, really? Loved.
Yeah, yeah, she came to that
night.
She's come to nah,
different night.
Different night, maybe. Yeah. She loved her and her. What was the other lady she worked with? The woman she worked with? I can't remember.
Dingo and Wolf,
so called.
Yeah.
Yeah, Betty sat with them the whole night. It was hilarious. Oh, they're such nice girls, you know. Well, I mean, anyone who's nice to a 65-year-old woman when they're in their 30s is, you know, that's a good person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to ignore those people, you know. I'm going to just be cool. But no, Betty passed away, unfortunately. But she was my biggest fan. She would come to gigs and laugh her head off. People go, who's that woman laughing? It's my mother-in-law. And then she would say, oh, Kieran, that's my wife, her daughter. She can't see this show. She can't see it. She'll be a tough set. But she loved it. Speaking of which, I met your father-in-law in a car park once.
You did?
Yeah, at the Big Blokes Lunch where you performed. Yeah, he's a nice guy. You know.
Nice fella.
He's from down that Gippsland way or somewhere. He's got something
in
Gippsland.
He once had Warrigal City Motor Group.
Oh, my God, did he? Yeah. He's like a big gun.
He was a car dealer man, yes.
Wow. Sound a lot of utes.
Yeah. Can talk. Can talk the talk.
Yes. Yeah, he's a nice guy. Anyway, we're off to Manu. Look, keep listening. We're going to be back after the gig. As I always say, you don't have to sit through the gig. It could be a disaster. It could be, but you'll hear all about it in about 10 seconds flat. Dan may not be in the car. He may stay. He might, even though he's got a young child and a beautiful wife.
There's a sausage sizzle beforehand that I'm excited about.
Oh, I'm excited about that too. I mean, I just had my spaghetti, but I'm still going to have a sausage if they've got one for me. Cut loose in Manu. All right, keep listening. Dan Connell's on The Debrief. All right, welcome back to The Debrief. We've done the great Manu Hub, which is basically the footy club.
The MCG.
Beautiful ground.
Really nice.
Well, my day.
Yeah.
It donated by, as the woman said when we rocked up, the owner of Pirates of Penzance. I'm like, what, the play? Does someone own the Gilbert and Sullivan play? I thought maybe he owns a touring version, but it's a horse.
Yeah, Prince of Penzance.
Oh, that won the cup.
She said Pirates, but I think, because she said it was the...
It's the one that won the cup.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a girl rider. What's her name? I made a movie. Michelle Payne.
It was a beautiful ground. It had a white picket fence all the way around.
Considering we were in the... Wimmera or the Mallee? Wimmera. Which one was it? Wimmera?
I think it's the Wimmera.
It was quite green.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got there and they're all just out on the grass and they had a great barbecue going.
I tell you what, when you rock up to a gig and you walk, we literally walk straight onto a sausage sandwich. We walked into the line. We didn't stop our steps. We walked from the car. Walk straight into the line up for the sausage sizzle.
Within a minute, we had a sausage in our hand.
Yeah.
And good. And they had grilled chicken. I didn't have any, but that looked good too.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? It was a great gig.
Mm. They were all outside. Everyone was outside. You and I, there's about 50 to 60 people there.
Yeah.
You and I were given the task to round everybody up to come inside.
Lois was the organiser.
Lois got us in. Everybody was
very receptive to our requests.
Yeah.
Came in and sat down, and we started, what, probably 5 minutes after scheduled starting?
Oh, it was great. And it was awesome. You killed it. And there are even well-behaved children there.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Rest up, but...
What happened was that you got to about 27 minutes and these four kids came and sat down the front like they were in class. And then their little sister turns up, who's about one. And it's like, they were looking to you like you were a teacher. Which is quite funny. And as you said, I've only got 3 minutes to go, guys. They actually did the same thing to me, too.
They came in late.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, there's a dragon out on the oval. Go and have a look at that. Oh, that's not a scary one, kids. Not a scary one. Because I was saying, like, oh... it's been a while since I've had kids sit down the front at gigs, like, and you start to second guess, just saying fuck and like, oh, like what are you?
Yeah, but we met John, local John, oh, council, what a classic. Works and for the council.
He had what? So he started talking about whipped cream. That was his kink or something like.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. His thing. Well, Lois mentioned it, and we weren't sure. Lois was not his partner, but she somehow knew. John from the council loved whipped cream, and he said he did whipped cream. Man, that was probably what, 60 years old?
And he worked for the council, picking up rubbish on the road. Yeah, he was good. And then he sat down the front by himself. No one else in the front row except when the kids are there.
Yeah.
And John's just sitting there getting involved. And then when I came on, because I was asking everyone, what's his name? What does he do for a job? Because he hadn't revealed that he was a council worker for you. So I went on and guessed in the comments because the guy told me he's a council worker. Do you work for the Shire, mate? They all go crazy. Like I'm a magician. But he was sitting up the back when I got on.
Yeah.
And I had that terrible moment where I thought, oh no, John's fucked off. John's not here. But he was there. And he was gold, John.
Average age of the gig? Probably 55.
My age. Yeah, and yeah.
Good bunch of people, though.
Oh, they were great. They were awesome. Farmers, plumber, council workers, one teacher.
Did you see the poster on the wall as well?
Of us?
Yeah. There's an A4 printed little photo of each of us. Free entry.
Yeah. Free entry.
Yeah, I was skeptical, but I just must say they were really nice.
Nah, you couldn't work out who was with who. Like, it was hard to spot husband and wives because they were all sort of, I don't know if they were swingers, but they were all socializing, weren't they? And Lois' husband worked behind the bar, and he had one of those country mumble. Like, he'd have a conversation, you're like, what did he just say? Which I mentioned, and everyone went crazy. I'm like, he's one of those guys that you can't understand. And Lois goes, Troy, you should hear his father. I said, oh, does he talk about the rain much? And he's fucking raining the rain.
He said probably four sentences to me, and the only thing I got was Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he said Stairway to Heaven at some point.
When he went, because you talk about when you're about to be knocked out in surgery, they say weird things to you.
Yeah.
And he said when he was getting his teeth out, they played Stairway to Heaven.
Yes.
It's quite funny.
And then while you were on and he was behind the bar, you would say a joke that would go well and get a big laugh, and then he'd lean over to me and recount something that he'd done similarly. But because the crowd was so loud and his voice was so, I just was nodding in agreement. Yeah, I just nodded in agreement every time.
Well, I also had Peter, who was a bit of an extrovert, and he was laughing his head off at you, and then he'd look and turn around to me to see if I was laughing. So I had to laugh just to make him feel better. Because he'd almost wait for me to laugh and then turn back around, you know? Yeah. Like, he'd like stare at me, I'd go, ha ha ha. Oh, yeah. It's like, wait, I know, but I have seen this bit before, you know? Like, I mean, to be fair, you did stuff I hadn't seen before, but there was some stuff I had seen, so I'm like, I didn't want to explain that to Peter, that, look, we find each other funny. We find comics funny, but we've seen it before. But anyway.
And the, we were sheep farmers.
There was a sheep breeder.
Cows, wheat farmers.
Yeah,
we shook a few hands at the animal saying how big, it's a lot of big hands, a lot of big strong hands out in Manu. So if you go out there, check out the hands on the people.
Mate, it's a great spot. Should move there.
And then you got there was a bit of controversy at the end. You was talking to a gentleman.
Oh, yeah. He goes, because we're getting paid by the local council. And he goes, yeah, the council have got you guys up here instead of upgrading the roads or grading the roads. I'm like, really? I said, because we're not getting paid that much. I said, the money they're paying us is maybe half a driveway. He goes, yeah, I've worked it out. It's a distraction. You're a distraction. Distraction? What? It was a conspiracy. Like, yeah. Where's some conspiracy to stop? Well, they said don't mention power lines because that's one of the areas where the government wants to put power lines underground or something for the solar and wind farm. I said, oh, look, I don't really have an opinion for it. But I said, all I know is that I'm for it. They all go quiet. I went, I'm joking, guys, but I am a big fan of wind farms because they all hate wind farms. The guy goes, oh, yeah, wind farms, we hate them, but some people like them because they make money off them. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, oh, it is funny.
And I'd not seen it in my time doing country gigs, but you got asked for an encore as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Have you?
So we did
half an hour each. I did half an hour, then we had a break.
Yeah,
and then you did your half an hour, and then you were walking off and you grabbed the keys to go and they cheered you back onto the stage. Yeah. It's a double act.
It was like we were like Laurel and Hardy.
And then we mingled for a bit, and then we both got cheered out of the joint.
Out of the building!
It couldn't have, and then with Anzac biscuits in our hands.
Couldn't have been any better.
No.
We should go back next week and do the same routines. They're like, oh, what?
I would go back there once a year if they'd have us. We could
just
go back and do it.
Do different material. Absolutely.
Old mate, with the roads will never get fixed.
No, the roads, you'll be angry. You'll be there next year. Yeah. We're not getting any water because of you blokes. But anyway, enjoy their last, farmers. Yeah. He was a big-time farmer, I think, that bloke.
Yeah.
He
was one of the better-dressed men of the night as well.
Well, they're often, as I said, are you all the labourers of those blokes over there in charge of you? They've got a good laugh. Are they all there? Because often a grazier will be there, and they're often wealthy, and they've got a nice hair and a nice jumper.
And they're in the Gazman attire.
Yes. Whereas the labourers are wearing hoodies and just fucking, and they're always really tanned and you can often spot a grazier.
Yeah, nice checkered shirt.
Yeah, and they went to a boarding school.
Yeah,
they went to a boarding school.
Vest, a vest. Of
I did this trucking gig the other night for livestock trucking, whatever, in Ballarat, and they're all guys that own trucks. That drive cows and sheep around, right?
Yeah.
And so they're all big, fat blokes with mullets, all skinny, nuggety ones, you know? There's nothing in between. Right, the big, fat bloke with a mullet or a skinny, shaved head bloke. And they all own trucks. So, you know, but I go, who owns the most trucks? How many do you own, mate? This guy goes, two. I went, two? What a fucking loser. Two trucks. There was some guy who owned 60 there. Anyway, while I was on stage, this bloke walked up and he had the Gazman country road outfit on. He had the white sort of jeans, the nice boots, check shirt and a jumper and a hat, and I go, and I just pause, and they're all watching him sit down. I go, oh, fucking landed gentry's turned up, look at this bloke. I said, what boarding school did you go to, mate? And they all go crazy because of course he did go to one. Tommy's name was, he inherited the trucks from his dad. I go, oh, nepo baby, all right, whatever. Anyway, what a great fun. Okay, so I'll ask the questions. What went well tonight in your act, Dan? What
went well in the act?
Yeah.
The crowd work stuff went pretty solid at the start.
Yes.
The jokes that got a best reaction were stuff about relationships, I found.
Yeah, true.
But,
we're doing another one tomorrow night, so I'm going to go through my set and just... Well, what didn't go well? I can tell you what didn't go well on my set. I can tell you. Vaping jokes, because they don't... There's no vapists there, which is bizarre. But
no vapists.
Organisational hazards gone away. Anything?
Look, the lights.
Oh, the lights were okay, though.
In the end, yeah, it worked out all right. They had sort
There's
of,
no stage.
No stage. One spotlight right up our nose from the floor up.
That's funny, yeah.
One little thing in the roof coming down that was kind of more of a downlight than a spotlight.
Yeah, it was
and
fine,
then
though.
Fairy lights, which... Didn't get turned on.
Yeah, fairy lights.
And then that classic speaker.
Oh, yeah.
It actually,
it wasn't too
it actually put out quite a bit of sound,
Good. How can we do better next time?
I would. The only thing I should have had, I regret not having another sausage sandwich.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Cole, look, if you've heard this podcast and think, oh, this bloke sounds funny, have a look at his two specials. They're for free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Connell. Yeah, pretty easy to spell. Big tall guy, black hair, curly hair. You'll see him. Or just follow him on the socials and that. He's always putting clips up and they're always good value.
Indeed.
Thanks, Dan. I'll see you tomorrow night. We won't do another podcast because you're going up with the great Billy Styles, but I'll I've got to come from my gig at the Elderly Citizens Festival in Frankston, which will be another story, I'm sure.
Thanks, mate. That'll be fun. Cheers.